Turn again to Acts chapter 1. My subject today is entitled, Our Future in the Hands of God. Christian, don't worry. Our future is in the hands of the Lord. And I want to base my remarks on Acts 1 and verse 7. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples. It is not for you to know the times nor the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee today that our lives are in the hands of the Lord. We thank thee, O God, for thy so great salvation. That day, Lord, when you saved us, those of us who are saved, this afternoon, we thank thee, Lord, that from that day to this, that you've kept your hand upon us. And, O God, we thank thee from this day until we get home to heaven, you'll keep your hand upon us. We thank thee for thy mercy to us. And, O God, we pray today that you'll come and bless your word to your people. We thank thee for those in this house who can read their title clear to mansions in the sky. And, O God, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy precious word that comforts us and encourages us as we seek to live in this world of sin. O God, we pray today that your word will bless our hearts and strengthen us in our faith. And, O God, we pray today that we might know in a very special way that underneath and round about are the everlasting arms. We just thank thee, Lord, that we can meet in God's house today around thy precious word. We pray, Lord, now as we turn to the sacred page, that you would fill us afresh with your gracious Holy Spirit. And, O God, help us just to say those things that will be pleasing to thee. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Many Christians today worry about the future and what the future may or may not hold. Indeed, so much do God's people worry about the future that they become depressed and downcast in their Christian lives. So much so that their lives for Christ become ineffective for God. Instead of the Lord being able to use them in his service, their lives are so full of worry about the days ahead that their service and testimony for God in the present is virtually non-existent. Child of God, this ought not to be. The saint of God should never worry about tomorrow. Indeed, it is a sin for God's people to worry about tomorrow. I want to draw your attention today to a statement which Christ made to his disciples before he ascended back up to heaven after his resurrection. This statement can be found in Acts 1 verse 7 and was spoken by the Savior in response to a question asked by the disciples at the end of Acts 1 verse 6. In the question, the disciples inquired into their future. They said, look at the verse, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? In response to this question, the Lord Jesus made it clear to them that the future, as far as the timing of the restoration of Israel was concerned, was not theirs to know. Christ said in verse 7, it is not for you to know the times nor the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Christ here rebukes the disciples, but he leaves them in no doubt concerning who is in control of the future, because he emphasizes to them in no uncertain terms that the God of heaven is in control of all future events. Child of God, as we consider this text today, I want us all to learn the clear teaching of Christ concerning our future life upon this earth. And as we do so, there are several things that I want you to notice about our future in the hands of God. And I pray that the Lord will bless His word to every heart today, especially to the hearts of the saints of God. Because I do believe that there's a word here in season for each and every one of us who are saved and who love the Lord. Isn't it wonderful to know that our lives are in the hands of God? The first thing I want you to notice here, very simply, is this. Our knowledge of the future is limited. In our text, the Lord Jesus Christ says this to the disciples, "It is not for you to know." Now, there are many things about our future that we do know. We know that someday the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back again, and that brings comfort to our hearts. We know also that once we die and leave this scene of time, that we're going to go to heaven. And what a comfort that is to the saints of God, to know that we have a home in glory. We also know, before we die, that in the future the Lord has promised that He will never leave us nor forsake us, no matter what our circumstances may be. Is that not a comfort to our hearts, to know that day by day, no matter what comes ahead, that the Lord is a friend that sticks closer than a brother? You see, God in His Word has revealed to us many things about the future of this world and the world to come. And these revelations concerning the future are a warning to the Christ rejecter and a comfort to the child of God. However, apart from what God has clearly revealed to us in the Bible about the future, our knowledge of the future is limited. When we think especially of our day-to-day life upon this earth. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13 verse 12, "For now we see through a glass darkly." In other words, what Paul is teaching here is that our knowledge of the future is limited. Paul said on another occasion when thinking about his own future in Acts 20 verse 22, "Behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there." Paul knew it was God's will for him to go to Jerusalem. And he knew that the Lord would be with him when he reached Jerusalem. But there were many details concerning future events as he went up to Jerusalem that Paul did not know. And he expresses this here in Acts 20 verse 22. And of course, if there was ever a man who walked with God and knew the mind of God, it was the Apostle Paul. He says he saw things, I believe, that no other human being had ever seen, and yet with all Paul's knowledge, he was unable to look into the future and see everything that was going to befall him. You see, his knowledge of the future was limited. In James 4 verse 14, we read these words, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow." Child of God, we are not to know everything about our future. God in His wisdom, God in His providence, has limited our knowledge to know only the present. Why is our knowledge of the future limited? Well, for a number of reasons. First of all, because that is the way that God has planned it. In John 13 verse 7, Jesus said, "What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." Christ here is speaking again to His disciples, and as the Savior speaks to His disciples, He teaches them clearly that it is God's will and plan for us not to know the details of our future. And of course, also, God knows that our minds could not bear unlimited knowledge of the future. In John 16 verse 12, Jesus said to His disciples, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now." While the Lord Jesus is stating here that there are certain things in the future that he will permit his disciples to know, I believe that this verse clearly teaches that our minds are unable to cope with too much knowledge at the one time. There's no doubt that if we could look into the future and see things before they happened, we would die in despair. Our minds would not be able to bear it. Child of God, it is hard enough sometimes to cope with knowing with the present without knowing every detail of our future life upon this scene of time. Just think what it would be like if we knew from day to day what was going to happen to us. How miserable and depressive our lives would be if we knew in the morning that before the day was out, we would break our leg or cause someone else a great injury. How would we get through life? No, the only one who has unlimited knowledge and should have unlimited knowledge of the future is the God of heaven. You see, God in his word has revealed unto us what he wants us to know. The finer details of our future, he will give us grace to bear when they come upon us. And we're going to see that just in a moment. But I believe here in this text of Scripture, we can see clearly and we can see simply that our knowledge of the future is limited. The Lord Jesus Christ here, as he speaks to his disciples, he says to them, "It is not for you to know the times nor the seasons." Here they were inquiring about the future. They wanted to know in great detail about the future. But the Lord Jesus stops them here. And he gently rebukes them. And he says to them, "It is not for you to know." Child of God, the truth is, there are many things about our future life upon this earth that we don't know. And God has planned it so. Because God knows that our minds could not bear unlimited knowledge of the days ahead. The Lord knows best. The Lord knows best. But I want you to notice something else here. Take a look at Acts 1 and verse 7 again. Because you will notice here, secondly, the strong hands which keep the future. It says in our text, "It is not for you to know the times nor the seasons, which the Father," underline this, "which the Father hath put in his own power." What tremendous words we have here. Child of God, our unseen future on this earth is in the hands of our Heavenly Father. Therefore, although we cannot see ahead as far as our earthly life is concerned, thank God our Father that is in heaven, who knoweth all things and has planned all things, he knows the way that we take. Our lives are in his hands. Our future is in his hands. Notice exactly what Acts 1 verse 7 says. "It is not for you to know the times nor the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power." What does this teach us? It teaches us that not only does God know our future, but that God has planned our future. This verse in the Greek literally means, let me read it to you, "And Jesus said to them, not yours is it to know times nor seasons, which the Father placed in his own authority." In other words, our future is in God's hands. By his own authority, by his own power, he has planned and he knows what is ahead as far as his saints are concerned. Listen to what the Bible says concerning the knowledge of God. Psalm 147 verse 5. "Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite." Listen to 1 John 3 verse 20. It says, "God knoweth all things." Isn't that a tremendous text of Scripture? Oh, child of God, as we look into this week, As we look in to this month, as we look in to the rest of this year, indeed as we consider the rest of our lives, isn't it wonderful to know that our lives are in the hands of our Creator? Our lives are in the hands of our Saviour. Our lives, every detail of our lives, they're in the hands of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because God holds our future in His hands, what should the Christian's attitude be to the future? Well, first of all, our attitude should be one of assurance, knowing that our lives are secure in Christ. Keep your hand in Acts chapter 1 and turn back to Matthew's Gospel chapter 6. And look with me at verse 25 to 31 and you'll read these tremendous words. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, or yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or withal shall we be clothed? Isn't that wonderful that the Lord, He knows all about us, and He has promised to meet our every need according to His riches and glory. And thank God, although we don't know what we're going to have to pass through this week or this month or in the days ahead, the Lord knows every step of the way what we're going to have to pass through. And our attitude should be one of assurance, knowing that our lives are secure in Christ, that He has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And no matter what the valleys of life may be for us, thank God, even in the midst of those trials, He has promised to be a friend that will stick closer than a brother. Our attitude should be one of comfort, knowing that nothing happens to us by chance. Look at verse 34 of Matthew chapter 6. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. O child of God, our attitude should be one of comfort, knowing that the Lord will take care of us every step of the way. And thank God He has promised to do that. Our attitude should be one of hope, knowing that even in the valleys of life, the Lord will be with us. And hasn't He promised to be with us? There's a wonderful text of Scripture in Isaiah 43, verses 1 and 2. Listen to these words. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, verse 3, thy Saviour. What a wonderful Saviour we have. One who has promised never to leave us nor forsake thee. My, the hymn writer penned it well when he wrote that lovely hymn. I do not know what lies ahead, the way I cannot see. Yet one stands near to be my guide. He'll show the way to me. I do not know how many days of life are mine to spend, but one who knows and cares for me will keep me to the end. I do not know the course ahead, what joys and griefs are there, but one is near who fully knows. I'll trust his loving care. I know who holds the future, and he'll guide me with his hand. With God, things don't just happen. Everything by him is planned. So as I face tomorrow, with its problems large and small, I'll trust the God of miracles. Give to him my all. Oh, thank God today. Child of God, as we face tomorrow, as we look into the future, isn't it wonderful to know that we're safe in the arms of Jesus? And thank God we are safe in the arms of Jesus. And the one who has saved us is the one who will keep us. The one who has saved us is the one who will give us grace from day to day, no matter what we have to face, because he has promised, my grace is sufficient for thee. And thank God it is, because not only does he give saving grace, but he gives keeping grace from day to day. But there's something else I want you to notice here. Turn back again to Acts chapter 1. I want you to notice, thirdly, what our duty in view of the future should be. Our duty in view of the future. What is the Christian's duty in light of the future? Well, the answer to that question is this: serving Christ with all our hearts. Our duty is to work for the Master today and leave our future in his hands. There's no point in us worrying about what we cannot control. Our business is to serve the Lord. We need to regard our lives as an opportunity for serving God. Because whatever the future holds, someday soon our lives will be over, and with it, our opportunity for serving Christ. It is interesting to note that after the Savior rebukes the disciples concerning their inquiry about the future in Acts 1 verse 6 and 7, that Christ goes on in verse 8 to reveal to them their true purpose in life, that of being a witness for Christ. Well, you've got to see verse 8 in the context of what we're preaching upon today. Look at what the Savior says in verse 8. After he says to them, it is not for you to know the times nor the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Child of God, we cannot be effective witnesses for Christ if we spend our lives worrying about tomorrow. Let me try to summarize what I believe Christ is saying here to his disciples. I believe he's saying this: stop concerning yourself about every little detail about the future. My Father has it in his control. Get on with your duty of being a witness for me. That's what I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is emphasizing to the disciples here. Because remember, this verse 8 is also a part of the answer that Christ gave to the disciples in their inquiring question in verse 6. And the Savior here is emphasizing to them, don't worry about the future. My Father has the future under control. Get on with serving me. And thank God, power is available for you to serve me. Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Oh, we've only one life, it'll soon be past, and only what's done for Jesus will last. How many times have we quoted that verse? And yet it's true, dear child of God. You know, the truth is, we could spend our times worrying every minute of every day about tomorrow. And then when tomorrow comes, we could spend every minute of that day worrying about the next day. But you know, that's a ploy of the devil. Because when we're worrying about tomorrow, about things that may or may not happen. We're not being effective witnesses for Christ. Our duty, our responsibility, our calling is to be a witness for Christ in this world of sin and ungodliness. Oh, child of God, our lives upon this earth are very, very short. And we need to make sure that we spend our lives in the service of Christ, being those effective witnesses for the Lord. Learn three things about our work for Christ. The command to work. Matthew 21 verse 28. Son, go work today in my vineyard. And notice the command there. It's not go work tomorrow in my vineyard. Or go work next week in my vineyard. Or go work next year in my vineyard. It is, son, go work today in my vineyard. We have got to take the opportunity when the Lord gives us the opportunity. And today is our day of visitation. Today is our day of opportunity. And I pray that in these days that the Lord will indeed make us those effective witnesses in his service. Consider the limitation of our work. In John 9 verse 4, the Savior says this to his disciples, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Again, the Lord is emphasizing the importance of serving him today while it is day. And then he emphasizes, the night cometh when no man can work. And my, if there's a day and age when you and I need to be up and doing and serving God, then it is this day and age in which we live. Very soon we'll be entering into another mission. Another opportunity to reach out after the lost. Another opportunity to witness for Christ. Another opportunity to bring men and women under the sound of the gospel. Oh, child of God, I wonder what part you will play in the mission. I wonder, will you invite? I wonder, will you bring? I wonder, will you pray? I wonder, will you go out to reach the lost for Christ? What an opportunity it is. Another opportunity for us to reach our families. Another opportunity to reach our friends. Another opportunity to reach our workmates. Another opportunity to reach those that we come into contact with day by day with the message of the gospel. The Lord doesn't want us to worry about tomorrow. He wants us to be a witness today. He wants us to live for today. He wants us to shine out in our testimonies today. He wants us to go forward spreading the message of the gospel today. And that's what I believe he is emphasizing here to his disciples on this occasion. Oh, child of God, I pray that the Lord will give us a burden and give us a vision. For without a vision, the people perish. Maybe you're here today in this congregation and you don't know the Lord. You're not saved. Could I say to you that your future is bleak? Your future is very bleak. For the Lord hasn't promised to give you everlasting life because you haven't accepted him as your own and personal Savior. Your future is a future of darkness, a future of sorrow, a future of torment. Because the moment you leave this scene of time, you'll be lost in hell forever and forever and forever. Oh, the future of the Christian is bright. Because the Lord is with us and the Lord will never leave us. And when we come to cross over the Jordan, the Lord will bring us safely home to glory. What a future the child of God has. But the unsaved have no future.
as far as happiness and rejoicing and salvation and heaven are concerned. Rather, your future will be in a lost eternity. Oh, my friend, would you not come and trust this God of miracles today? Would you not come and begin to walk with Him this afternoon? Would you not seek the Lord while He may be found and call upon Him while He is near? Thank God, this very day, He will save your precious soul and He will redeem you. And then you too can face tomorrow, knowing that whatever comes to pass, the Lord will give you strength and grace in the time of need. How does the future look for you? As you leave God's house this Sabbath day, how does the future look for you? You say to me, well, it looks fine because I've got my health and strength, and I have got a home to live in, and I've got a family that will look after me, and the future looks all right. My friend, what if God was to step in and say to you, this night thy soul shall be required of thee? How would your future look then? If you were ushered out into eternity, how would your future look then? Oh, the reality is that your future would be dark, and your future would mean that you go out into a lost eternity. Oh, come to Christ today. Thank God this Saviour that each saint here knows and loves can be your Saviour. He wants to be your Saviour. He wants to redeem you by His precious blood. He wants to save you by His grace. Come and trust Him today. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you. He will save you now. Child of God, don't worry. Our hands, our lives are in the hands of God. It is not for you to know the times nor the seasons which the Father has put in His own authority. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee today and we praise Thee for Thy precious word. Help us to rest upon it. Help us to lean upon it. Help us to trust in it. We pray, Lord, that You will encourage Your saints. And O God, that day by day, whatever life may bring, that we might look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. How we thank Thee that the Lord Jesus is not only the author of our salvation, but He's the finisher of our salvation. Not only does He save us, but He brings us right through to glory. Oh God, what a blessed hope the child of God has. But Lord, we pray for those here who are not saved and their future is bleak. Their future is bleak because their future is without Christ, without God and without hope. Oh God, turn them to the God of the Bible. Turn them this day to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Saviour. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.